Now, so we have a problem with this other approach. So I can do anything I like. And the average person repented because of hell. When you say God loves you, He has shown you so much mercy in spite of your foolishness and stubbornness and hypocrisy, your double life. Stop. Repent. And you should think about it and say it's true. Oh. And you repent. You don't despise what we just read. He said, are you despising the riches of my grace? Because there's so much abundant grace I'm pouring on you. I'm delivering you. People have done less evil than you. And you lost it, like this king. He did less evil than all the rest. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't a competition of how much evil do you do. He didn't get rid of the golden calves. And his cup, the cup of Israel was full. If he had repented, hey, if that man had said enough is enough and gone and pulled down the golden calves, pull them down, those idols. If he had told Israel, stop. If he had removed the high places, the Bible says they were in all their cities, everywhere. If he had stopped, if he had used his authority and said, put down this thing. This thing is an idol. It's objectionable to God. You're breaking the second commandment. You're not loving the Lord your God. You're putting something else before Him. Remove this thing. If they had obeyed, if someone didn't come and say, after all, my father did it and my grandfather and great-grandfather, nothing happened to them. Abi, you know, nothing really happened. They suffered, but nobody shipped them out of their land. Yes? So everyone keeps coming and thinking, for the past 3 weeks I've been misbehaving, the past 3 years. Nothing disastrous ever happened. Nothing disastrous will ever happen. Till the last drop fills the cup. And the cup overflows. And the question is, how do you know when it's time? See the problem? You can't know the time except you are walking with God. The fact that you're living in sin, you can't know the times and the seasons. Sons of Isaac are those who knew what Israel ought to do. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 12 that those that are wise will understand. And how does wisdom come? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So the one that does not fear God never. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, Lord, even if your hand is lifted up in judgment, they will not see. So when those that fear God can see the hand of God and they are saying, repent, repent. The rest of the people go like, what, why do you guys keep looking? What's wrong with you? Can't you see the big hand? It's coming down. Get out from here. All of you fanatics. You're jobless. Abi, it's because you don't have what to do. But the big hand is coming down. And you can't understand why they can't see. Like the signs. Look at the signs. Jesus was so irritated about what I just said that he said, you people know how to read the sky and say tomorrow is going to be sunny. Tomorrow is going to rain. Why can you not read the signs of the times? Who has read this before? Who has heard this before? It's in your Bible. There's something like the signs of the time. If you were here in September, I began to preach it. The change in season, in times. A time of increased spiritual activity, demonic and angelic. A lot of release of demonic spirits into the earth. We saw in Revelation 12 that it is in the Bible. September 23 that happened is Revelation 12. As best as I can see it in history, it has never happened. Woman in the sky, Virgo, the virgin constellation, with 12 stars around her head, the moon under her feet. Many people won't see it because of their interpretation of the book of Revelation. They will not see it because of how they interpret that. But I'm telling you, almost certainly, I am convinced that that was what happened on September 23. Not just me. So a sign occurred in the heavens that was a sign for the casting down of the dragon to the earth. Therefore, an increase of demonic activity. Everything. You wouldn't want to be someone bound by sin now. Because I've said, there will be demons that people do not know of released. Demons you can't imagine. Like, I don't know if you've read your Bible that there are demons that have been bound that will be released just for a season. How do I explain this? Have you read the book of Revelation? That there are demons that have been kept in chains. That at a part, there are angels too that have been kept. Their job, there are angels that have a job. That's you. You're created to do a particular thing. Then there are some that have been restrained. And they will be released to do something. I'm informing you that there are also demons that exist to do something. And some of them were kept for the end of the age, which we are in, the seventh day. And the Bible tells you, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, that they are coming, and the things that will happen. People keep thinking that everything will remain the same. Things never always remain the same. Since you were born, have things remained the same? From the first time your mother took you to that strange place and dumped you, didn't you used to think you will always be with your mother forevermore? Until that separation and she left from morning and came back around 12 or 1 or 2. Hey? Then the next time, have you not learned that things don't remain the same? Then maybe they took you to boarding school and dumped you far and traveled. In fact, maybe they drove far or used a flight, dropped you very far and went back home. In these days, you're used to phones so you can talk. There was a time there were no mobile phones, no talking. 2 months, 3 months, you're not seeing nobody from your home. And then, life kept changing. Then you went to university. And here you are. Nobody rings the bell. Can, time for meal. They give you money. If you like, blast it the first day. Finish it on day one. In fact, buy a phone. Then work out the rest of your semester in hunger and horror. All sorts of things have been changing since you were born. People think, university, this is the life. Wait, you're coming. You will leave university. Youth service, you're still government picking. Finish youth service. Find out what it means when they look at your face and say, how far? Nothing. Including your parents. Like how? Like what? Things will keep changing. When you think it has finished changing, you marry. That's like you are just born now. That's a whole new birth. And then when you think marriage is just the most drastic change, you have a child. You find out you appreciate sleep. There's no end. You're thinking, I have a child. Like, how can it get worse? The child gets sick. Which sickness? Cold. He can't breathe well. Hey? See, there are things you can't avoid. You see the way my wife will have to stand. I mean, my wife used to be, thank God those days when I was working fully, very busy. I mean, it's a corporate job, and she was housekeeping. So she will try to save me all the time by taking the child out. Because they start screaming, they start shouting or whatever, and now she take it out. Sometimes their nose is blocked or they are suffering from this or that, and they're just crying and crying, and all that. You know those guys don't say, what time is it? Okay, it's 3 a.m. Cry quietly. They don't tell. Be it 9 a.m. in the morning. 3 a.m. at night. At all times. Nobody. Time. They don't have the concept of time. But all those things will have every stage. And then you think, I know what it means to take care of a child. The child becomes 2 years old. You think it's the same? You see, you come. Don't worry. When you think you have resolved the issues, the terrible twos and the 3, 4, 5 years, and then it becomes that thing they call a teenager. That's another kind of creature, which I have learned according to scripture shouldn't exist. So I've cast it out in my life. I don't want to see a teenager. It's either the Bible time, you're either a child and a man. You go from to a Yes. Scripture in the Jewish culture. From this, then they initiate into manhood, bar mitzvah. You're a man now. You follow your father, you walk fully, you experience things, you start being trained thoroughly. But we, white people, came up with this teenager thing and people use it and misbehave. In anticipation, they look forward to it so they can misbehave officially. Because all the psychologists say, no, it's a stage you have to endure. So, have you watched the movies, the white people, just stupidity. It's official stupidity. You know official stupidity is the stupidity that has been signed and stamped. That's where, like, expect the stupidity. So parents endure all sorts of things they shouldn't endure. No, not in my house. That's where you find yourself raising your voice at your mother. Yeah. If you have a proper father like I will be. What was that? You know, laying on of hands the second time. You won't even see me moving. Like, all you know is you saw me and then you felt a sharp. And then you saw stars, you know. It's like you suddenly had astronomical vision. That's how to deliver a teenager from teenagehood. They call it adolescence. It's deliverance. Like you, it's carried out without a Bible or prayer. And it has to be fast and early. You don't do it on time, it stays. So all those white people, by the time they listen to all those confused demonic psychologists, they say it's normal. They expect it. That they expect it, they'll be like this. So when they do, you're like, the parents start looking at themselves, Say, Johnny, don't say that. Johnny, don't talk like that to your mom. Leave me alone. And stand up from the table and stomps off. Eh? You will not eat for a week. Sorry, it's not that you're eating, you're fasting for 7 days. Call it anything you like, but somebody is in trouble. You didn't like the food? Okay, it's alright. Go and plant your own. There are a million ways to deal with a demon-possessed thing that is between the age of 12 and 20. But again, what do I know? I have the Holy Ghost. It's not those that know. You know, I was here. I used to listen to Dwayne Sherriff many years ago. And when Sherif said his children didn't go through those things, because he didn't expect them to go through it. So they didn't do it. They're in America. They didn't do it. They didn't date. They didn't do none. Full Americans. They didn't date. They didn't do any. They just normal. He says one man in his church, he was correcting the man about something the son did or something. And the man said, hey, let's wait till your own children grow up. And the man sat in the church waiting for the pastor's child to grow up so they will fall. So he will say something. When the child grew up, and stayed and never misbehaved, he left the church. Literally, I mean, if you know Dwayne Sherriff, he's the most loving person I know. So for him to say it happened. So the man waited and waited. It didn't happen, he left the church. That is, he waited for years for this man's child to grow up and misbehave. The boy grew up, loved God, married sensibly, had a child. It was just normal. The man said, waiting. It is possible. And there are people like this, in spite of what you think, who like that don't go, you know, just do anything and say, hey, don't read too many white books, so be careful of what you read. Don't read white books without balance. If you read everything, you have wrong ideas put in your head. Then you start practicing it. Yes, you'll be tempted, whether you read the book or not, you'll be tempted to be sassy with your mom, you'll be tempted to do all those things, but you know, and I know if you're born again, it should be easier to overcome that. But even if it's there, don't yield to those things. It's not like it's in the Bible. God didn't say, honor your parents till you become a teenager. Is there anything like that? Huh? There's nothing like that. So, yeah. So let's get ready to pray by taking a peek again at Hebrews chapter 12. What did God say? It is obvious that chastening is one of the things God does. That thing I just said about disciplining a so-called teenager is what is called chastening. I don't want to go into too many Greek words, but that word, scourge, the Bible says that you should not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by Him. How many of you have heard the voice of the Lord? Hey, you! No, if you heard it, you'll be dead. So I'm just saying you won't hear it like that. But what will God do? God will use people. And what happens when you despise the chastening of the people God puts in your life? The Bible just says you shouldn't despise His chastening. They rebuke you. He says don't chafe under His rebuke. He says don't do it. It's not a suggestion. It's instructing you. It's instructing you. Don't be discouraged when you're rebuked. When you are rebuked, don't go and shuffle out from the place and off. and start thinking all sorts of ridiculous thoughts. He says, don't even be discouraged. Be encouraged. And he went on down. I like the pure King James. He says, if you don't have rebuke or that kind of thing happening in your life, you're a bastard. And to be honest, sorry, I'm a little older now. I've come some ways from my university days. To be honest, many people in church buildings, I think there might be a few here, you might just be a bastard. The word is illegitimate. That is, you're not a real child. Your fatherhood is not clear. That is, you have not really, really been born of God. You see yourself behaving anyhow. You don't want any chastening. If they do, come here. You take off running. The only people that can behave like that are fortunes. Yes? Huckleberry Finn types. Yes? Oliver Twist types before they are taken in. Did you read books? Some of you have heard rumors of Oliver Twist. It's a restaurant. God will forgive you. A street urchin are these children that don't really have parents, that live on the streets, and they're young. I'm not referring to Agbero. Someone called Agbero street urchins. I don't know why they talk like that. Those are thugs. These are not street urchins. I mean, the guy is like 25 with muscular shoulders. I call it a street urchin. Urchin, by definition, is small. All right, so a street urchin. These small kids, the type, again, David Copperfield, Oliver Twist, those children on the streets, they far away from home, lost, whatever, and they are stealing, they are pickpocketing, they are doing things like that, or they are just there begging, the better types. There are lots of them in Lagos, yes? Good. Do you tell those ones, you, come here, and they go like, huh? Those things don't answer to anyone. Who are you? They don't answer to people. They live just like you. Again, if you've read any of those classics by Charles Dickens, you know it's okay. See, let me tell you what to do when you're like, my whole life, you people say we shouldn't watch any kind of film. Don't watch. Don't do it. Yes, don't. Bear the chastening. What should you do? I'm not saying you can't watch any film. You know, I've said it. But don't watch any kind of, you can't watch everything. Read it up. Check it. Is it? You just see the title, horror. Don't watch it. Plugged In. How many of you saw it? Post it on the classroom. How many of you looked it up? Saw all those movies there and saw the, you open it, you see the synopsis, you see the rating. PG-13 typically means it's nice and safe. You know, I watched Power Rangers. No, listen, that's a really spiritual movie. Like, it's the whole story. You didn't see the spiritual analogies. It is full. A movie like that, like, you know, PG-13, that means it's okay for even a 13-year-old to watch. It's good. It's clean. I don't know, was there a kiss in that movie? Not a single kiss. Safe movie. There are nice, safe movies like that. Very safe. Good movies. Not stirring up lust. It's not. And even some that might have a kiss somewhere. Maybe somewhere at the end of. Generally speaking, they are safe, neat things. Did you see the storyline? I know I was watching Diana. I mean, I was just having revelation at that point. I wish I could pick it out and just bring out all the revelations. See, to the pure, all things that you'll be shocked at how God will talk to you. You know, and I was just seeing all the principles there. How those guys were, you saw their lives, like had, they all had issues. They were outcast in some way. They were treated by others somehow. And they found these things of power, you know, and they went on from there and they became God. They were chosen to walk with this power to save the world. They were to save the world as insignificant, and they struggled. I told you, Sadhu came all the way, an internationally recognized, humble servant and prophet of God, and he gave prophecies in November. We've had those words for more than a year. In a few minutes, you know, he said what God has already shown us about Nigeria, about his power going out, about the prophets of God, about all that. He said the same thing. God didn't look at you and say, you that just repented in the last 4 months, I can't tell you. He told us. So like those Power Rangers in their normal form, did you notice they couldn't morph? They couldn't change and have their armor fully on. Why? Because they didn't love yet. Ha! I say, whoever came up with that idea, he may have been born again and full of the Holy Ghost. You see, once in a while, people tap into the mind of God. God looks on earth and says, these people, these ones don't read Bible. Let's put the message in a movie. I'm not playing. I'm serious. You ever watch Lord of the Rings? Oh, that's the earth. Oh, that's God talk. Apart from the fact that the guy that wrote it was a Christian. J.R.R. Tolkien was a Christian. You heard of C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia. Oh, yes, that was... I'm talking about... I don't mean Christian. I mean real Christians. I mean like... They planned, I think they sat in R.R. Tolkien's parlor and planned and say, you write about other worlds. C.S. Lewis was to write about other worlds. And Tolkien was to write about earth. Yeah. And Tolkien helped C.S. Lewis come to know the Lord too. C.S. Lewis was atheist. Didn't believe in any God. Had a prodigious memory. He was a professor of medieval literature. They said maybe when he was about 16, he had read most of the major works of literature in their original languages already. Do you understand? So I just want to give you a clue. So the guy didn't believe in God, crazy guy like that, very fascinating. I have a large book like that, collected works of C.S. Lewis. It doesn't include his Chronicles of Narnia and the novels and all that, just different things he wrote, simple letters, arguments. You know, he's like the foremost apologist. He was one of the earliest people that he could argue and prove God's existence without quoting a Bible verse. He was a very interesting guy. You know, he had grace for that. And he was on radio during the Second World War. His teachings encouraged so many people. He wrote some very interesting things, mere Christianity, in very simple ways, like a child could understand what he's saying, but with this massive grace of God on him. Until he died, I think he was an Anglican, a layman in the Anglican church. He was just a person there, you know. But he always had foresight, even in his novels. He contains his storybooks, the Chronicles of Narnia, the seven of them, and others. He contains principles of the things of God, very clear. Very clear. If you know the Bible as you're reading, you're just seeing. I read it years ago. If I'm to read it again now, 20 something years later, I'm going to see so much more revelation. I'm going to see so much more revelation. You know, obviously, I mean, the more I've come to know God, the more I see, like, this man knew things that till today most people don't know. The last battle, he had insight. The whole deception in the church, that lion, that fake lion. Because the real lion, they had not really seen him, Aslan, which represented Jesus. So by the time they had this fake lion, an ass, they now saw the head of a lion lying somewhere, they wore, and they put a cotton between. And someone, the ape comes out here and says, you want to see the great lion? They'll see the shadow. You know, you have to bring gifts. Everything you guys are doing, all, he wrote it when? 1980. And he wrote it like a storybook that young and old can read and enjoy themselves, but it contains the principle. So God speaks like that many times to the world. He uses a book, a work of literature that will go around. Sometimes, like in C.S. Lewis' case, it's by born-again Christians. And sometimes, it's with someone that is not necessarily, what's his name, that puts J.R.R. Tolkien's work to? They may not necessarily be born again. Like Mel Gibson, who gets very confused. On the other hand, you don't know, he might be Christian with plenty demons. But I don't think so. But maybe. And you come up with some passion of Christ. But it doesn't even have to be a Jesus thing. It can just carry a message, like that whole Power Rangers idea. And the impression you walk away with, if God can open your eyes, you see God is saying the same thing to you. You, do you know if you allow me to train you properly? Did you see how they're training those Power Rangers? Battering them. They're suffering. Training them in the roughest way. Those rocky things. And they say, even though you don't know how to put on your armor, in the meantime, you have to manage you as you are. But the point is, you didn't choose those rings of power. The rings chose you. It chose you. In the same way the Bible says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. Do you know that in the Bible? God chose you. He looked at you, messed up, confused, lost. He reached out to you, touched you in some way or the other to let you know, listen, in spite of how worthless you think you are, I love you. Gave you spirit, did a few things that on your own, you know, it's not me, to let you know, I don't just love you, I'll give you the best I have, my spirit, my very nature, I'll put in you. I'll transform you. And then he begins to allow you to hear the truth that says, do you know God wants to do mighty things with you? He wants to save the world through you. That some of you will walk in great power, much unbelievable power. You that your family treats anyhow. Like that girl that her mom was always giving a hard time. Or the other one that had a sick mom. Or the other one that, you know, all sorts of people had a stepdad. All sorts of situations. God will look at that. The other one didn't have any father. Everyone there had a problem. Don't you know that the Bible says in clear language, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that brethren, have you not noticed that God does not use the mighty, the wise, the noble? Is there anyone here that doesn't know the passage? Should we read it for you? We are reading it.
Verse 20.
Listen.
Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?
Wrong.
26. For consider your calling, brothers.
Hey! Consider what? Come on, why are some people talking and some are not talking? Consider your
calling.
Your calling, brothers. That is, consider how you were called. Ah, I wish this. Is there a message here? Is there the message somewhere? Is there any other translation? Simple and saying it slightly differently.
Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called.
Did you hear that? God is saying you should think about what you were when you were called. And you better.
Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth.
Yep.
But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong.
Excuse me, what did God just call you?
Weak and foolish.
Because some of you are not hearing. We would have passed that place, you not hear it. God looks down. Where is someone foolish enough? Are you stupid enough? No, you're too intelligent. They will pass you. They will pass you because you're too savvy. That's why when God wants to use people that are slightly intelligent like Paul, you know what he does? He slaps them off their high horse, blinds them, renders them imbecilic. They have to lead them by the hand. Sends an unknown to go and lay hands on them and baptize them. And then sends them, get out, disappear. Nobody wants to see you for a couple of years. Then he says, can I use you? Then he sends them on a difficult assignment that involves a lot of beating and kicking, swimming and hanging out with the fishes. And then you die with your head cut off. And you become a big boy for eternity. Mm-hmm. God doesn't have, he helps you by bringing you down first. Because I need to use you high. So go down. Never take pride. All of you that have always wished you, your parents were Dangote. You want to go to hell? Be happy. It means you likely qualify. Because God looks around for the weak. I am so weak. You don't understand me. I'm not like the others. These other ones are strong spiritually. They are strong. Nope. All those movies that show those kinds of stories, some abandoned, ignored person, and then they pull them out. And they say, the medal has chosen you. You are the anointed one. And they're like, all of them carry this story. It's this concept that God doesn't look for your power. Your power is a hindrance. Often he has to scrub it out of you. I am so fine. God is like, and you're just thinking, you know, with this my beauty or my good looks, I'm going to go out whenever I might baritone voice, praise the Lord. And people will melt. Hiya! You know, and you do all those things and you think you will use that. And God always tries to tell you, no, you can't use that. That is a hindrance to me. People will be saying it's because of your natural charisma that you carry along the crowd. And they will be drawn to you instead of to the God in you. So he has to scrub you away. You disappear. Lots of foolishness will happen to you in between. Embarrassments. Weakness. Till you lose your sense of pride and all. Then he can be all in all. Ha ha. And when people look at you, They see God and they are attracted to God, not you. You don't become a hindrance to the God. How do I know people that won't go far? You can look at them. You see it sometimes from their behavior and all that. At least they won't go far as long as they are a certain way. Look at them, you just know you won't go far.
God chose the lowly things of this world.
Lowly. Lowly. And God is a rich God. It's a false gospel. Yes, God is abundant in riches. God has everything. I agree. But the idea conferred when people say my God is a rich God, that my God is not a poor God. God chooses the poor of this world, the lowly. We just read it. So you better be careful, Oga, the money you have, because it might disqualify you from being chosen. You can't counter this scripture, and there are multiple other scriptures like this. This is not a solitary verse. Oh, how did so many people get disqualified from God's usefulness? They say, my God is not a poor God. That's, I can't lack. I can't be in this state of need. I can't be dependent on others. The moment you did that, you're disqualifying yourself from being chosen. You'll likely be passed over and someone else picked. Have you ever seen people sitting and watching TV and say, I used to know this guy that I used to help. And they are sitting in their parlor mocking. They haven't led 3 souls to Christ since they left university. This one has led hundreds of thousands. And you're there speaking, is it not doing again? We're in school together. You're in school together, yes? Yes. He has brought, God knows how many people to the Lord. How many have you brought? Me? I'm a successful businessman. It's okay. Make sure when you're coming to heaven, have you heard before how someone got to heaven? And the big box, as he got there, pow, pow, pow. They asked him, okay, you're allowed with one thing to heaven. So this guy came with a big box. As he opened it, St. Peter said, so what did you bring? Your most precious, my most precious thing, what? He opened the gold. Bakra. And Peter went, you brought asphalt to heaven? You don't know what asphalt is. That's what Americans call road. You brought tar road to heaven. You still don't understand. Your brain that turns slowly. What do they make roads with in heaven? So what he thought was the best thing in this world is absolutely nothing. It's what people walk on. It's a joke. That's the main point. But the point is, that's exactly how many people think. The thing you think is a big deal is the exact opposite. In God's eyes, Jesus said it this way. He said, that which men esteem highly is detested by God. He detested. To detest means to be disgusted. He detested. Yes.
And the despised things.
I just talked about despised things. God chooses which kind of people?
The lowly, the weak, and the foolish.
Despised people. Who likes being despised here? Do you know what it means to be despised? It means to be looked down on. You feel it intensely when you're around your peers. Let's say you happen to have... You don't feel it too much when you're younger. Some people feel, depending on how much exposure to certain knowledge. In primary school, you may not feel it too intensely. By the time you get to secondary school, senior secondary, you feel it significantly. Okay? Boarding house, visiting day, daddy comes. And a colleague once told me how she was in school. And the girl would say, this is our gate man. They'll come and say, your father is looking for you. She's so embarrassed because the father comes on a bicycle, I don't know, wearing slippers, you know, really bad stuff. All the embarrassments you can, you know, secondary school now. How many of you did not go to secondary school? And the dad comes and she goes and she stands at far and all that and goes to the gate, you know, and she comes back. And she comes back with Gary and says, this is our gate man. I don't know, I've told him. Hey, it's our gate man, he just brought me some Gary. And she kept on doing that. That's what she, you know, and she was, it was so important to her to maintain, because when she comes to school, she has stories. She has stories. You know now, if you were one of those, God has forgiven, just ask God to forgive you one time. He will do it like that, okay? It's okay. God will forgive you for foolishness. It's foolishness. It's pride. It's wrong. But it's not the unforgivable sin, eh? So she would do this, and one day, of course, they exposed that. You know, when when your cup is full, I don't know how it was done, but he was exposed so badly. Like he was, what? That man, you said he's your father, whatever, some big person, you know, expose her completely, you know. It wasn't her, and there are many people that go through that. To be despised is when you go for the party in school, and the clothes you have is, see people with clothes now, hey, and your own clothes is, this clothes they bought for you, you were in GS3 that time, this is SS3 now. But that time they bought it, that time it was like GS3 and it was like your best clothes. And but you come to school and you see your classmates wear, and your clothes is your best clothes, you know. Have you ever have a classmate that didn't ever want you to visit? The way some of you are laughing and the way some of you are keeping your face straight, both of those things tell me a lot. So there are the classmates that don't ever want you to visit them, ever. If you visit them, you meet them on the road or in a public place. But not, don't come to our house. And I know the feeling. I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not harsh on people like this, but I hope as you grow older in the things of God, you won't ever let those kinds of things affect you. Let people take you exactly how they met you. When the more confident you are in God, the less you feel these things. I'm not saying you don't feel it. You feel it very lightly, and you push. And the more you humble yourself, a time comes you don't feel it at all. Can you imagine what Jesus was going through? Do you realize Jesus was God? Do you realize Jesus made heaven and earth? That while Jesus was walking around, Jesus' reason is not like, see, I'm really rich, it's just I'm acting poor. Mm-mm. It's like, I made you. Do you realize, should I just tell you about the day I made you? I made you. I made you. I know the number of hair on your head. I made you. I made you. I thought of you. I came up with the idea and I brought you into being. It is my breath you live on. You breathe on me. You breathe from me. There was that amount of right Jesus had. But what did he do? What does the Bible say he did in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 or Philippians 2? The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who did not consider what he was, that he was God. He didn't hold on to the idea, I am God, oh, I am God. Is it me you're talking to like that? Fall and die. His own wouldn't have been theory, your empty words. He would have dropped and died. One day he introduced himself and said, I am he. The people fell. What if he said, I am God? When he used to talk, you say, before he said, I am. Seven times he said that thing, I am. The Jews understood he was using coded language to claim Godhood. But he ignored all of it, acted normally. He allowed them to actually beat him and spit at him. So what's humility? This whole thing about being despised. The Bible tells you in Isaiah 53 that Jesus was despised. Allow yourself to be despised. So what happens when you cannot endure being despised, that you didn't make your hair well, that your sandals are torn, that your bedsheet is not fine, that sometimes you don't have money? Jesus had meetings with 5,000 men, not counting women and children, and there was only one meal there from one small boy. He collected it. The God that can send a prophet to a widow woman and tell her, give me food first before you make for your children, you and your child. It should give you an idea of how your God thinks. God will do things. Elijah should get there and say, God, no now, I'm a man. You say she's a widow. God does all these things to let you know that, yes, I am really the one behind it. Being despised is a sign of being chosen. Let me tell you. Loud and clear. Till you have been despised, I doubt your chosenness. Just write chosen, put a hyphen and ness behind it. I doubt your being chosen. Till you have been despised, I am so serious here. If you have not been despised, I doubt that you have been chosen. When you are chosen and you struggle, hey! You struggle never to be despised. You are trying to be unchosen. You want to be disqualified? Do not struggle when God allows you to be despised. Do not be discouraged when he chastens you. This is the chastening of the Lord. What did that list finish, sister?
And the things that are not, to nullify the things that are.
Stop. After he went through the list, weak, foolish, lowly, despised, he wasn't satisfied. He called you nothing. He called you the things that are not, and he called you things that are not. You don't understand what it means to be not. Put O there, zero. God takes someone that was something. Gamaliel, I sat at his feet, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, that's from the tribe of Benjamin, did this, the that, circumcised the 8th day, this, that. He said he was reduced to nothing, and he said, I count all of it to be dung, poop, trash, for the sake of knowing Christ. God will allow very people. This is what is not being preached almost at all in the circles the average person moves. And this is how people are being disqualified from ruling and reigning with Christ all over the place. And people don't even have a clue. Because everything you're doing is struggling. You know, people come here and they wonder, why don't they seem to care about how they dress? Why should you care? Will they despise you if you always dress so fine? So I will help you by not doing anything. I won't tell you don't dress fine, but neither will I tell you dress fine. I'll tell you, I'll come and sit on the floor, wear anything. See, let me tell you, if we have millions of naira now, we won't buy soft and nicer seats. Even if we are become a multimillionaire church, if you're okay, we use that money and feed people. And help plenty of people everywhere. If in your mind you're looking forward to coming and change everything. All those people that always think you come. Some of you, you've been having wonderful plans. Let me kill you now. All your plans are how you're going to walk in here with money and say, I'm going to change this place. Once we have another need that I think is more important, give us the money or go away. Don't use your money and control me now. Why? You think I'll not use your money and control me? You can't. Number one, it's not your money. So if you come here, your neck starts paining you. Start crying your neck anyhow in this place. I'll just be watching you, and you're just, I'm going to make his day. Okay, so what I'm thinking about, we're going to put a carpet, maybe a carpet so everyone can sit on the floor. We can now remove our shoes very well, so the talkers will talk. Fine, I wouldn't mind the carpet, so everybody's just on the floor. I like that one. But we say, okay, we're going to find very nice seats, soft padded seats, and then we're going to do this. We're going to do anything that is not irrelevant. As you're saying, I'm thinking about the children in Ododuma. The books, feeding them twice a day, breakfast and lunch, before they go home. I'm thinking about all those things. I'm doing my math, and you're talking. I'm not hearing anything you're saying. Then you feel, I say, yeah, so I'm thinking by the time you're done, maybe looking at something in the range of 800 to 950,000. So, okay, this is my bank account number. Take it. I'll give you my bank account number. I say, no, I'm doing it myself. No, you're not doing anything. This is a bank account. I'll put it there. The one I want you to do, I'll forward it back to you. Say, no, if I don't do this, this is what I'm led to do. Carry your body. Be walking. Because that's exactly how people have come to control servants of God. And I end up splurging, and everyone comes from everywhere and says, hey, wow. And they take you and show you the toilet. You need revelation to understand that one. The best quality. What about the souls? Are they the best quality? Because I can assure you, I am telling you, this is 100% revelation. That nobody will ask you about how fine your toilets are when you go to heaven. And that's not God's definition of excellence. It has never been. It will never be. People go around throwing the word excellence around. The Bible says Daniel and his friends, especially Daniel specifically, said he had an excellent spirit. He didn't have a spirit of excellence. He had an excellent spirit. It's a spirit he had. It's a spirit. Can you see a spirit? It's the spirit that was excellent. Can you see a spirit? Everything I saw was excellent. You saw it. You saw it. You saw it with your eyes. You could touch it with your hands. You said it was that our God is a God of excellence. Have you seen a leaf before? Huh? Have you seen a tree before? Have you seen a rock before? a lizard, a human being. This is excellent work. Yes? Sometimes the excellent work is this tall. Sometimes to lay hands, you have to do like this. Sometimes that leaf is shaped funny. Sometimes that stone, you don't really understand it. Excellent is not costly. An excellent cannot be defined by Egypt. Whenever people go back to Egypt to go and get help, were you here when I read it? They end up imprisoned. I don't want to go back there. I don't have time. Someday we will talk about that. We'll talk about the chapter before. Whenever people try to escape their situation by going back to Egypt in disobedience to God, you go back to Egypt. You want to talk excellence, you can't compare with any unbeliever, in case you don't know. I don't know what's wrong with people. I don't know. You know, God taught me this a very long time ago. It's really old. You think you can compare with an unbeliever in terms of what the world calls excellence? How? Where will you start? Have you seen Trump Tower? Have you seen inside Trump's tower, his penthouse, his suite up there, his house where he lives? It's in that his big building. Go on YouTube. White House is an embarrassment. You haven't seen Trump Tower? It's real gold. The stuff is gold. It's gold. It's gold. He's a billionaire. He was a billionaire. He doesn't take a salary till today. It's gold. The trimmings, all over that room, it's pure gold, real gold. Does White House have? I mean, you're talking about taps and faucets and all sorts of things. You want to compete with unbeliever Bill Gates? I read nearly 15 years ago when he was building his house. Walls are screens. Wall, the wall, name is screen. Where will you start? Have you seen swimming pools and move? You want to do excellence with unbeliever? You must be a sinner to do compete in what you call excellence with unbelievers. You must be a sinner. How do I know? You mean they are not hungry people? That you made your wall from silver? You mean the world's problems has finished? Nobody needs money. You mean everyone has a house to live in? You've covered all the needs in your congregation. Nobody there does 419 to survive. There's no one that came hungry and will go back hungry. You want to compete? It's unbelievers. People that don't fear God, that don't think. They say it's my money, my soul, eat and drink, for you have much wealth stored up. Have you ever heard something that sounded like this in your Bible? God was so happy with him, yes? No, he was so happy with him, he grabbed him. That night. That's what happens when people store up so much that they have no need. And if that one does not convince you, Revelation 3 should. What does it say? Those people in that church said, we are rich, we are wealthy, we have need of nothing. I think I heard a group of people sing a song that had those same words. I don't think I pointed out that one. I was like, what did they actually say? Are they actually saying this? Is it, are they under a curse? That is, they haven't read their Bible. Some group known for, in quote, excellence. They were saying things like that. I was like, what? The Bible says this thing, that the people that said this thing, God said to them, what did Jesus say? You don't know that you're poor, you're wretched, and you are blind. They were loaded, but they were rubbish in God's eyes. People of God, God says you shouldn't be discouraged when he disciplines you. How? By making you weak, making you appear foolish, making you lowly, making you despised, and making you nothing. He said, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. That whole thing about hanging hands. Lift up your hand and say, it is well with me. I am attend the believers' classes. Make sure you hear very well the class on resurrection of the dead and Aeonian judgment. Hear how it will end. And see why you cannot be walking around life saying, see what has happened to me. Walk around life like a king, a true king. We've told you this thing yesterday. We were praying for someone. As the person finished, you know, it was deliverance type prayer. At the end, a prophecy came from the person. If you understand the long-term plan of God, that all this where's Jesus now? With what? With principalities and powers under his feet, yes? It is not how it starts. That is the Jesus that was spat upon. Someone spat on your feet for real speech. They spat on him. They mocked on him. They pushed a crown on thorns of thorns on his head. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Present tense. He's still getting more kings under him as vassals. More. And he's looking for you. If you like to fill up that vacancy, would you like to be a king? One of the kings that will serve under the King of kings. If you want, stop being discouraged. Beg God. Beg God. I beg you to beg God to give you fathers. People that will discipline you. That will tell you. That will rebuke you. Cry when nobody catches you. When you do anyhow, nobody calls you out of the blue and says, where are you? What are you doing? Why did I not see you here? Why? All those that feel like, please, it's my life. God have mercy on you. May you not be left alone. May they not leave you. May you not be a spiritual bastard. May you not prove yourself so tough that they get tired of chasing you. Till they say, please, I will leave the one and face the 99. Please. Thank God for scripture. Thank God for scripture. Many of you, thank God that. Thank God for the Bible. If it's not Bible, you would have been on your own since. I've looked at people and I know that if not, I've seen many people that are spiritually dead. They are dead. You look at their life, it's just going down. It's like seeing a vision that is not nice and you don't want to see it again. Sometimes people come to my heart and you see. And you don't want, I don't want to see. I don't want to see. You know, you don't want to see where they are going. You just hope, oh God, please. I keep saying it's not now. Like that king, that wasn't too bad. But he was doing his time. They imprisoned him. They didn't imprison other kings. They imprisoned him. And me, I'm not too bad. It doesn't matter when the cup is full. Be thankful when you have your Elijahs and Elishas that rebuke you, that confront you. When you're going to pray in the few minutes we have, you're going to appeal to God to give you people that God will speak, that there will be more mouths for God around your. You know, one of the things God challenges me about the most, that I don't rebuke people enough. When I was praying Psalm 139, that's the rebuke I got. And I'm like, oh God, please. And I'll be thinking, and it's like, no, don't, you have no right to do that. When God loves you, he rebukes you. The Father loves you. He looks at you and says, this one, you have to become something. You're going to handle the family business. Who knows God's business on earth? Who knows the business God runs on earth? Ruling it. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. The world and all its inhabitants. What's the family business? Ruling it. What's God going to do with his heirs? He's going to apportion out the earth. You rule over here. You rule over here. Two cities. One city. 10 cities. This is in scripture. This is clear. Matthew 19, Luke 19, Matthew 25. It's clear. It's not a suggestion. It's obvious. Matthew 19 also. Jesus said he would do that. He said, I will share it out. You will rule with me. What happens when you don't care? You don't want to be despised. You want to be big now. What does the Bible say? That the mountains will be brought low. And the valleys, the lowly, will be exalted. Check, it's a matter of timing. If you're exalted now, get ready. Get ready. Enjoy your exaltation to the max now. Don't say, hey, but what about Daniel? All those people that quote Daniel, Joseph, excuse me. Tell me one of those people. Tell me one person that became a Daniel, a Joseph, a David, that did not either live in the bush, a pit and prison, a lion's den or fire. Anyone? Tell me one. A Moses that was taken and raised in a palace. Half of his life was palace. Maybe not even fully half. The other half was where? Desert. I don't know what you said. I knew it was in the desert. Have you not read? So don't ever quote. What about the every time God is at work? And he wants to lift you up. He's going to put you down first. What happens if you never allow yourself to be put down and despised? What if you never have to live in the bush? You want to become king. Not God. God, that king, you have to steal it. That kingship, and it will last very briefly. If it is the kingship that God will give you an eternal throne, I can assure you he will make you to be despised. So for all those that never want to be despised, I'm sorry, my message today was not for you. I apologize for wasting your time. Enjoy an exalted position as much as you can. But for all those that say, I can be small for how long? 20 years. I don't know if the earth has that long left. I mean this present arrangement of things. 10 years, 15, 20, 30. Okay. I can suffer. Have I? What's there? I can endure being nothing. Because I know if I allow God to rebuke me at some point when I resurrect, if not in this life, because some people might start rising now, but for many it is after they resurrect, then we will know who the big boy is. Whether it is the guy that is your landlord for the next 1,000 years, or it is the guy that was a Dangote in this life, you have the choice. Today's message was, what choice will you make? Stand to your feet as we pray. Don't be discouraged when you're rebuked. Don't be stressed. Don't be sad. Don't get all worked up and angry and unhappy. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. To chastise means to flog. The chastisement of the Lord is not. Last comment before you pray. I don't know, because there's so much confusion being taught in the church. I've heard people say that God does not do bad things to people. There's nothing I've not heard. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, had his son crucified on a cross. People said, because he suffered, I can't suffer. Paul, did Paul suffer before Jesus died or after? Peter, John, everybody, all those apostles were killed. All the servants of God through the ages that God has been able to use properly, the John Wesleys, the servants of God, have you heard the pain they went through in one way or the other? A generation that has been taught that you should never experience pain is a generation that will inherit nothing. If you want to inherit properly, get ready to be despised. Stop fighting. When you go to buy a cloth, stop saying, if I wear this, I'll be despised. Buy it because you'll be despised. While we bring a balance and say, no, I was just saying it the other day, that it doesn't mean you have to purposely look like a scarecrow. On the other hand, I added there, I said, but I'm not saying you should care too much. In fact, most of your life, you've spent it caring too much. Stop caring for a while. Stop. Allow yourself to. Don't care. I said it here. I said, I no apologies. I don't change my mind about anything. You've been fixing your hair for the past how many years with thousands of naira. If you carry it short, there's nothing wrong. You don't have money. You even have the money and there's a need there. We have a need here. Take that money. Give it and carry the hair like that. If you're walking in a place where they say, no, you must look a certain way, some bank and all that, good, it's part of your dressing, then you must try and, but look for a simple way. But don't allow anyone say, no, our God is a shiny God. Remember Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Set your eyes on him. How was he? He was humble. He was humble. He was simple. He had his priorities right. Everyone that says, no, nothing that can bring me shame, that person is not chosen. God will allow difficulties. I sent out a message the other day. Some of you, you're passing through things and you're like, God, why? God is chastising you. What did I do? I thought I started loving God. Yes, there are things in you that only that experience will clean it out. How? You have always been known to be proud. Poverty is the easiest way to remove pride for a human being. You didn't know? It's very hard to be poor and proud. When hunger wires you. Now, except you sin. So how do people fight it? If it's a girl, she goes and has a guy. So she will not be poor. So she sins. But if you're going to be righteous and you're here saying, God, how can you allow this? You know I love you now. How can you allow things be difficult with my family now? That is why. Because you got serious now. And God started saying, all right, classes 101. And he started teaching you how it feels to not have. Where you have to be humble and receive. Some of you, you haven't learned it well. I just posted that thing one day, 2 days later, I was asking, trying to get someone help. The person was resisting. I wrote there, I said it clearly. You must learn to receive. For sure. I'm not saying this is not a prayer. I'm telling you how it works. You do things like that, immediately you have a carryover. You're going to have situations like that again till you learn. That's how it works. Don't be foolish. You have been given teachers and instructors to deliver you from most of the pain that is not necessary. When you don't hear it with words, you experience it through a beating. God wants everyone here to rule and reign with him. How many of you don't want it? You do not want to rule and reign with Christ. If you want to be a king, a David, be willing to live in the bush and in a cave and hang out with ragtag armies. Be willing to hang out with people that are despised generally. Till you're willing to do that, you cannot be a King David. You may be a King Saul, but you will not last. If you want to be a David who has an everlasting lineage, whose rule doesn't end, be willing to suffer with him. I'd like you to pray wherever you're standing and say, Father, forgive me for despising being despised. Anytime I have had a fear, I can't hang out. These people, didn't you hear what they said? These people, what kind of... every time you've thought those thoughts and acted based on it, you have despised being despised. Ask God, forgive me for all the times I refuse to be lowly. I refuse to be weak. Every time I've resisted your calling, because this is your calling, God has called you the foolish, the weak, the lowly. Come on, forgive me for despising my calling. You called me to become a king, and I looked down on you. You called me to with you, and I was ashamed of the process. I was ashamed of the process. I'm embarrassed about what people would think. What might happen to me? I compromised so it wouldn't be too hard or too painful. Forgive me. Forgive me, oh God, for being concerned about the ambience, about appearances, about opinions, about reputations, about dressing, about behavior. Forgive me for everything I have made important that is absolutely ridiculous in your eyes. That means nothing. Forgive me for trying not to associate with Jesus, for being embarrassed. Forgive me, Jesus, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, pray for calling me. In spite of me, thank you for calling me. In spite of me, thank you for calling me. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for calling me. Hey, you chose me. Remember how you were laden with sin. He called you. He gave you his spirit. As you were. Damaged goods. He took you. Fixing you. Walking. Hypocritical, liar, thief, immoral. He picked you exactly as you are, and he wants to do amazing things. You haven't even begun to see. Thank him. Thank him. Thank you, Jesus. We are grateful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Finally, you want to say, God, help me to remain lowly. The whole idea of being a big boy and big girl while becoming a king in the making don't go together. Not in God's economy. Big boy, big girl, God's economy doesn't work. Disqualified. You're saying, God, from now on, I embrace every, your chastening, your discipline, that your mate will talk to you. Will ask you, where did you go to? And you have to answer. That they ask you, who is that? That they tell you, don't go there. And you submit to it. Yes! That's the process. If you will just endure it, you will look at your life in 6 months. You say, is this me? When the Holy Spirit comes and sits with you, when you hear people say, God told me, God told me, God told me, God told me, God told me. You don't know, I've told you, some of you will come to a place where you heal people on the phone. You will pick your phone. I mean from your office. I didn't say you have to have a church. I mean you can pick your phone. If you have the gifting. It is ignorance that makes people, they give up. You have no idea of what you're sacrificing. That you can pick up your phone, they call you and say, what's the problem? And you go like, quiet. All that crying, quiet. Hold on. They want to tell you, say, wait, let me ask God. And then you start telling them why they called you. And after you tell them, and they say, yes. And you say, okay, now, you believe God is telling me? You didn't tell me. Good. Now, can you also have faith that God is going to heal that situation now? Take your hands, put on the person. As I'm speaking, repeat it. And you finish and you say amen. You cut the call. I'll see you guys in the evening. Pow. And you go back to your board meeting. You don't know it's possible. 100%. And he's looking for people he can make into this thing. And they want to be big. And like, no, I don't want to attend classes, but I want to become a big man. Ah, God's classes involve lowliness, humility, foolishness in people's eyes. Ask God, I receive all your classes freely. Ah, bring them. However, teachers, give me. Instructors, fathers, send them. Give me everywhere. Don't let me get away with anything. Please, do not truncate my education because of my foolishness. Father, do not truncate my education. Father, educate me. Teach me. Make me into the person you want me to be. Amen. Father, we ask for strength to continue walking. Lift your hands, everybody. Father, we ask for strength. Not to be discouraged and not to falter. To keep running the race that is set before us. Amen. We ask you give us strength to help one another. Amen. Deliver us from the bastard mindset. Amen. Deliver everyone here from the mindset that makes them accountable to no one. Amen. And give us all grace to be fathered according to the will of God. Amen. To submit ourselves one to another. To be humble so we might be lifted up. Amen. Thank you.